Commercial airliners are flying again in most parts of the country, but the experience of flying in America is still far from normal. NPR asked several reporters to travel to New York and Washington to help with our coverage. Andy Bowers flew to New York from his base in Los Angeles. This is his reporter's notebook about the experience.
Although some Americans might not be eager to fly to New York at the moment, many stranded city residents, families of victims, volunteers, and of course journalists have been searching for any creative way around the countless cancellations and airport closures. After booking several flights to New York that never took off, I finally tried one to Philadelphia on Friday, figuring I could catch a train north. I braced for huge lines at the ticket counter and security checkpoints at the LA airport, but found none, although lines did stretch out to the street at other terminals. Now it was time to see how much security had improved. There were many more police officers around, and my ticket was checked several times, but when I went through the X-ray, it seemed little had changed. I should explain that a radio reporter's equipment bag looks, to paraphrase a BBC colleague, uncomfortably like a bomb maker's kit. It has lots of wires, batteries, alligator clips, and long microphones that on an X-ray can resemble gun barrels. When I used to travel a lot through European airports, my bag almost always provoked a long, detailed search, often in a back room with bomb-detecting equipment. It took a while, but I confess it reassured me. However, I'd say only about half of my past trips through U.S. airports produced even a cursory check of my bag. I had higher hopes on Friday, but this was the extent of the security guard's reaction. Security guard, what's that long thing in there? Me, a microphone, I'm a radio reporter. Security guard, oh, okay. Me, you want to see it? Security guard, I guess so. Inside the terminal, nearly all the restaurants and shops were closed, having not been resupplied in days. I found an open newsstand and bought a paper. It was strangely devoid of news about the terrorist attacks. I then noticed the date, Tuesday, September 11th. In fact, the entire newsstand was filled with pre-attack periodicals. There was Gary Condit and lots of killer sharks and the shrinking budget surplus. A time capsule from what already seems like a different era. I decided to read a book. In the waiting lounge, I overheard a 30-something businessman say he was so frustrated trying to get to New York, he had his travel agent buy him seats on every scheduled flight to anywhere in the Northeast for the next 4 days. It had cost him around $70,000. He said he was going to call his travel agent from the first plane that actually took off and quickly get her to refund the other tickets. He was one of the first to board. I boarded a little later with a quiet couple in their 50s who sat across the aisle. I heard them say their son, a New York firefighter, is one of the missing. I wondered how the couple would make it through what had to be a traumatic flight for them. What could they do? They read books, they broke down several times and clutched each other, and they insisted on buying a drink for a young man who had switched seats, allowing them to sit together. The plane's TV set showed a movie trailer for a new Arnold Schwarzenegger film about terrorism. The film's release has been postponed because of the tragedy, but the explosives-laden trailer hadn't yet been pulled from airplanes. I've been on very turbulent flights before, and when we land, the relieved passengers often burst into applause. You could feel the relief when we landed safely in Philadelphia, too, but this plane was silent. Then, at least a dozen people switched on their cell phones and made urgent calls. This week, more than ever, they wanted to assure loved ones that nothing bad had happened. Andy Bowers, NPR News, New York.